Spirit. The Lord lays a cross on us all. Even St. Paul complained about his thorn in the flesh. I've been complaining for 2 weeks now to the day of the thorn in my flesh. Me not being able to talk and coughing and all sorts of mess. No man gets to choose his own cross, right? Not normally. Because who would choose their cross to be that their daughter's body is infested with a demon? Right? No one. Or who would choose that you've actually got to flee from your own brother for fear of him and in shame? No one. No one would choose that. The Lord tempts no one. But he does lay a cross of suffering and tribulation, a cross of affliction and adversity upon us. And contrary to what the wisdom of this world says, that is not a bad thing. Right? We hear this all the time. All you got to do is turn on the TV, you see it in television shows, you see it in infomercials, you certainly see it in all of those televangelist people trying to get you to send them money. Our Father mercifully grants to you the Holy Cross. Mercifully grants to you the Holy Cross. Now, why in the world would he ever do that? That's a fair question, I think. He does it that your flesh might be disciplined, that you would be formed by the cross, that your body and your soul would start to take a cruciform shape, that you'd be able to control your body in honor and in holiness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a refiner's fire, purifying your faith through the cross like silver and like gold. He strengthens it and fortifies it like silver, like steel. It's by the cross that Jesus pulls out all that is impure and weak within you, that he abolishes all remaining excuses for self-reliance and self-confidence, which we do not have a right to. We know that inherently, but we forget it, don't we? By it, that is by the Holy Cross, he draws you closer to himself. But fire hurts, doesn't it? Fire hurts. And this is why the flesh hates the cross and rarely embraces it. All right, we don't run out to suffer, do we? No. We are told by all manner of modern-day snake oil salesmen and charlatan that faith should be easy, that once you believe in Jesus, every little thing is going to be all right. After all, isn't it easier to measure the proof of God's favor by things like prosperity and success and how much stuff a person has? We're told that. And we see that everywhere. We live in that world. For example, shouldn't we be able to look at a guy like Alex Murdoch and say, oh, yes, that guy must have fallen out of favor with God. Look at his life. Look at his travail. God must really hate him. But look at the world around you. But the flesh does not understand. And what you and I so easily forget, especially when the economy crashes, especially when interest rates are through the roof, when China is barreling toward ascendancy, when rust and moth destroy, when thieves break in and steal, when the hearts of men fail, you lose your job, you lose your spouse, you fight with your family, schools become war zones. And you and your loved ones are surrounded on all sides by evil. What we forget is that God does not promise an easy, carefree life. That is promised nowhere in the Word of God. Nowhere. Your emotions, they are not the same thing as faith. Emotions and possessions are not proof of God's love and favor. Do not forget that. Because if they were, when trial, when tribulation comes along and besets you, what would that mean? Well, that would mean that God never loved you in the first place, wouldn't it? But perhaps you do feel sin's burden. Perhaps you do feel the pains of affliction. But it doesn't seem that God is answering. St. Paul prayed no less than three times that thorn in his flesh be taken away. Prayed to Jesus four times that the messenger of Satan be taken from him. And what did Christ say? No. Jesus said, no. My grace, made perfect in weakness, is sufficient for you. That's what he said to even St. Paul. Here today, he even appears to stand opposed to this poor, pitiful Canaanite mother. Both in silence, in rebuke, and maybe even in insult, right? Calling her a dog. I know that you know exactly how this feels. And those are the times when the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh rise up with lies and deceptions, just like Satan did in Eden. He tells you that God's no, or God's not yet, means that, well, he must be a liar, or that he must not care for you, or that he's holding out on you, or that maybe God has abandoned you. But he is a liar from the beginning and a father of lies. The Holy Cross, beloved of the Lord, though it seems strange and even hurts us at times, heavier than even the cross standing out in the narthex right now, it is not contrary to the faith. Though we often imagine that it is. God disciplines those whom he loves. Why? To fortify you, to strengthen you, to purify you. Because he loves you, that you not fall away from him and turn back to the dark bondage from which he has called you out of in his Son Jesus. He desires to bring about in you steadfast faith, immovable faith, and the right confession of his name before men. By the Holy Cross, Jesus smashes your idols. He smashes your false gods, and praise be to the Lord for it, ripping you away from demonic bondage and planting you firmly in his piercing side. Learn, my brothers and sisters, obstinate faith, and how to pray from both our patriarch Jacob and from this Canaanite woman. And Jacob, here is this misery.
clings to the gospel that she had heard about, and she never gives up. Never. Even when her faith is challenged and tried, it is purified, and it is made to shine out its stars, to where she makes a good confession of Jesus' name. Note also the two parts of her confession. Jesus says, it's not right to throw the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, what? She says, yes, Lord. And she agrees with what her Lord Jesus says. Yes, Lord. When you confess your sin, you agree with the Lord about what he says about sin in his holy word. Don't try to sugarcoat. Don't try to pretend that your sin is better than it is. Right, we try to do that, right? All men try to do this thing and sugarcoat over, gloss over our sins. Agree with what God says about it, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that it separates you from God, that it damns you to hell, and that it requires the healing of the great physician whose name is Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the only name in which there is salvation. Second, then she confesses her need of his grace and his mercy. As the Blessed Virgin at Cana's wedding simply lays out the problem of no wine, just puts it out there. So this mother says, even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. Such is the extravagant loving kindness and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even a crumb of whatever he might give to us is more than enough. But he doesn't just give her a crumb, does he? Jesus, who is Yahweh incarnate, blesses her and her daughter, frees them from the bondage of demons. They are changed and the demons are gone. My brothers and sisters, you do not receive only a crumb either. You receive the only begotten Jesus Christ, given into the death that all of us deserve upon the holy cross. When you struggle with him in prayer, when you struggle with him in trial and tribulation, he does not and will never abandon you. That cross he has laid on you is for your sanctification. He has called you in holiness to holiness. Tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope in Jesus Christ never disappoints. No matter what reason or experience or the wisdom of this world may say, you are God's own beloved in his Son. And he'll never abandon you. He'll never forget you. And as he changed Jacob's name, so he changes your name in holy baptism, placing his own name upon you and making you his own. He drives the demons from you in absolution. He joins you to himself in the most intimate of communions in the sacrament of the altar. No matter what you suffer and endure in this life, Jesus brings you through to himself, bestowing his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation upon you, because he is your sacrifice. He is your satisfaction, given to open the kingdom of heaven to you once more, that you can return to the Father again. this one who has wrestled with sin and death and the devil and gained victory over all of them for you. All things indeed do work together for your good and to his glory. So, maybe your prayers aren't answered as you desire them to be, or as soon as you expect them to be. But Jesus does hear your prayer, every single one of them. Maybe they are not answered immediately. Maybe they are answered immediately. Maybe even before you ask. Or maybe he teaches you to trust in him. Maybe he teaches you patience and to wait upon the Lord, because that's what he knows you need. Whatever it may be, our Lord Jesus Christ always gives what is needed more than anything, because he gives you the forgiveness of your sins by his holy, innocent, and bitter suffering and death. He strengthens and fortifies you and your faith in his body and blood, both to bear your cross in this life and to withstand the further assaults and temptations of hell. Your cries do not go unanswered to God. And if you are a dog at the Lord's table, then guess what that means? That means that Jesus is your loving master, who calls you by name to sit upon his lap in his own house, where he calls you good and beloved and holy and just. Your master loves you and feeds you even with his own hand, not with crumbs or even the bread of the children, but with his own body and blood, soul and divinity, crucified and raised again. Here you meet your God, and your life is delivered, because he who keeps you never sleeps and never slumbers. He is the shade.